那我们来看最后一个问题，最后问题是关于家暴的问题。
So, question is, the situation seems like a difficult gray area. She wants to file for divorce, especially due to safety concerns. Additionally, the husband's violence often follows verbal conflict, and the sister may bear some responsibility in these interactions.
所以呢，这个她的问题是，姐妹的问题似乎是一个左右为难的灰色地带。她很想起诉离婚，摆脱这样的婚姻关系。我们也很担心她家人的安全。
After 3 years of no conflict, both seem to harbor resentment.
在两人分居3年多之后，完全没有联系。
Her main concern is whether she can divorce. However, the goal of counseling is not merely to solve problems, but to help her become more like Christ. Yes.
那么我们的姐妹她所想的是，我们到底离婚还是不离婚呢？我觉得给她辅导的首要目标是先帮助她除去里面的苦毒，恢复和神美好的关系，是吗？答案是没错。
And then she wisely points out, even if she chooses divorce, the process is still going to be painful, and her current spiritual state may not sustain her through it.
而且，我想告诉他的是，即便他主动发起离婚，那个过程一样会很痛苦。他目前的属灵状况还没有办法面对那个挑战。是的。
And then the last statement on this question was, this marriage may feel like a long, exhausting struggle. But sanctification is a lifelong journey. I believe God desires peace for his people, regardless of the outcome of this marriage. What matters most is her transformation, putting on the new self that pleases God. When she is ready, God will surely make the next step clear.
那么最后一个这个问题当中的立场是，他的这场婚姻拉锯战可能非常的漫长，我们成圣的旅程也是一生之久。我相信神赐给人平安的意念，无论是这场婚姻将来会如何结果，重要的是他自己的生命被更新，穿上神所喜悦的新人的样式。等他准备好了，神一定会将下一步清晰的指引放在他面前。
So let me just begin by saying that we know that God hates divorce. So we are and should be reluctant to present divorce as an option.
那我要开始回答这个问题之前，我要特别提到的是，我们知道神恨恶离婚，因此我们不愿意，而且也不应该将离婚作为一个选项提出来。
But we must also love mercy as much as he does as well.
但是我们也必须像神一样喜爱连续。
Remember that Jesus says that Moses permitted divorce because of the hardness of their hearts in Matthew 19:8.
记住，主耶稣在马太福音19:8里面说到，摩西允许离婚是因为百姓的心硬。
That was mercy.
这是连续的一个体现。
So we must also be reluctant to withhold the merciful option of divorce when the conditions given by God in His Word are met.
因此，当神的话语中给出的条件得到满足的时候，我们也必须要愿意说，我们不要，把离婚这个选项从连续的这个表现当中拿走。
My pastor taught on divorce. He made a number of important points, and I want to share those with you.
我所在教会的牧师在教导离婚的时候，提出了以下的一些要点，我想要和大家分享。
He began by saying that these cases are very difficult, both practically and theologically.
在开始他的教导之前，他告诉我们说，这些案例在实践上和神学上都非常的困难。
And then he re reviewed several of the main evangelical views.
那么接下来他带着我们走了一些主要的福音派的观点。
Option one, no divorce, no remarriage.
选项一。 不是，是不准离婚，不准再婚。
He pointed out that these views are held by teachers like John Piper, Heath Lambert, and Russell Moore.
那么这个标准呢，是由约翰·派伯、希斯·兰伯特和马索·穆尔等牧师持守的。
And those who hold this view would encourage you to rely on the sufficiency of Christ in the midst of deep suffering.
这个观点依赖于基督在深重苦难当中充足的恩典，他会加给你力量去忍耐。
He will enable you to endure.
他加给你的力量是够你持守的。
And my pastor observed that this view makes sense when you think about people coming and saying various things, such as,
我的牧师强调说，这种观点呢，在人们到你的面前去告诉你他们的处境的时候，这些处境下，这种观点是合理的。
My spouse was in a car accident. Their personality has changed, and this is no longer the person I married, so I want a divorce.
比如说，第一个处境，我的配偶出了车祸，性格大变，他不再是我结婚时候的那个人了，我要离婚。
Or, my spouse has cancer, and the caretaking is not something I signed up for.
那第二点是，哎呀，我的配偶得了癌症，我之前承诺跟他结婚的时候，我没有说我要照顾他呀。
Or our newborn was diagnosed with a disability that will mean that he's dependent on our care for the rest of his life. I can't handle that.
或者第三一点，哎呀，我们新出生的婴儿出现了残疾，这意味着他终生都需要依赖我们的照顾，我承受不了这个。
So my pastor said there are people who ask for a divorce in situations like this, and we would say they don't have biblical grounds for divorce.
那么，当有些人在这些情况下要求离婚的时候，我会说，圣经没有给出这种情况下离婚的依据。
But these situations are not always clear-cut, and it becomes difficult to wrestle with nuanced situations. So, one option is to have a policy of no divorce, no remarriage.
但是这些情况呢，并不总是那么清晰，所以呢，在处理一些比较微妙的情况的时候，我们就会遇到挑战。因此，一个选择是采取不准离婚、不准再婚的政策。
So that was option one. Here's option two.
那刚才提到的是选项一，现在我们讨论选项二。
Divorce, but no remarriage. This is called the patristic view.
第二个选项是可以离婚，但不准再婚，这个被称为教父的观点。
This view was held by many church fathers.
这个观点呢，被很多的早期教父持守。
So, with this view, there may be some options for divorce, but no option for remarriage except for the death of the spouse.
我们可能可以允许离婚。但是，除了配偶死亡以外，不允许再婚。
Then, option three, divorce and remarriage are possible in certain situations. This is called the Erasmian view.
选项三是在某些情况下可以离婚，也可以再婚。这个观点被称为伊拉斯莫观点。
And my pastor said that this is probably the most popular evangelical view.
牧师说，这个可能是目前最流行的、最受接受的一个观点。
It is espoused in the Westminster Confession and also by people like John MacArthur.
那在威斯敏斯特信条，以及其他的一些人，比如说，约翰·麦克阿瑟等等，他们是认可的。
So, this view allows a certain amount of flexibility, but it's hard because you have to determine what qualifies as immorality or what qualifies as abandonment.
那么这个观点呢，给予了一定程度的灵活性，但是它也存在困难，因为我们必须要界定什么是淫乱，什么是离弃。
And then another, option that's out there is that divorce and remarriage are possible for lots of reasons.
那么其他的选项四可能出于很多原因可以离婚和再婚。
And probably most evangelicals would not embrace this view.
那大部分的福音派是不持守这个观点的。
So then we've got to ask, well, how do we wisely minister as biblical counselors in the face of all these different views and complications?
那所以我们就有点头大了，作为一个。圣经辅导员，我们在面对所有的这些复杂的观点的时候，我们应该如何智慧地开展我们的事工呢？
So my pastor just laid out some practical wisdom for ministry when it comes to divorce cases.
所以我的牧者他给予了一些例子，告诉我们说，当我们去谈到涉及离婚的案例的时候，我们应该怎么做？
So first, help your counselee in their suffering.
那么第一点是，帮助你的求助者在他们受苦的时候帮助他们。
Their life is hard.
他们的生命当下是非常艰难的，
And they're significantly hurting.
他们正处在极大的伤痛之中，
So we want to help them in their suffering.
所以在他们的痛苦之中，我们想要帮助他们。
We also want to help our counselees to repent where needed.
我们在帮助受苦者的时候，我们也希望可以帮助他们悔改。
He pointed out that even when we're dealing with the innocent party, we want to help them see how God is using this extraordinarily hard situation to help them become more like Christ.
在他们在悔改，在需要悔改的场景之中，我们想帮助他们悔改，而在处理一些无辜的一方的时候，我们也要帮助他们看到神如何使用这个极其艰难的环境来帮助他们变得更像基督。
Then help your counselee have a firm position in their mind based on scripture.
那么第三一点，帮助我们的求助者在圣经基础上有一个坚定的立场。
Romans 14:23 tells us, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that doesn't come from faith is sin.
罗马书14:23说：“若有疑心而吃的，就必有罪，因为他吃不是出于信心。凡不出于信心的，都是罪。
So that's why we need to help them have a firm position in their mind based on scripture.
”所以，这就是我们希望可以帮助他们建立一个坚固的立场，让他们的观点是完全出于圣经的。
We don't want our counselees to just embrace one of these options if they're not biblically convinced that that option is what God's word says.
我们不希望让我们的辅导对象在没有圣经确信的情况下去采取其中的任何一个立场。如果他们不相信神的话语是支持这个立场的话，
Good biblical authors hold all of those views.
有一些就是圣经相关的作者，他们甚至会拥抱所有的这四种观点。
So each person is going to have to come to a conclusion themselves. They have to stand before God and they have to live with the consequences.
而每一种这四种观点都有非常优秀、非常敬虔的圣经作者们来支持和持守，所以对于我们的姐妹们来说，她们必须要自己得出结论，她们必须站在神的面前来承，也来承担她们选择的后果。
And of course, we would want to walk them through our church's position and why that is our church's position.
当然了，我们要引导她们。和他们一起去了解我们教会的立场。
And if they're from another church, we need to ensure that they're talking with the leadership of that church.
也要帮助他们理解为什么我们的教会采取这种立场。如果他们来自别的教会的话，也要确保他们和自己的教会领袖有沟通。
So Romans 14 insists that what I'm doing, I must be doing it for God, for His praise and His glory.
所以罗马书14章坚定地认为，我所做的必须是为了神，为了他的赞美，为了他的荣耀。
And they need to be able to defend their position biblically.
而我们的辅导对象必须能够从圣经上来捍卫自己的立场。
Then the next thing is help your counselee understand their church leadership's position.
那么，第四一点就是帮助你的辅导对象理解他们教会领袖的立场。
What do we do if they don't agree with the church leadership's position?
如果他们不同意教会领袖的立场怎么办呢？
They need to talk to the leadership, but if they can't support the leadership, then they should probably be in a body where they can support the leadership.
他们需要去跟他们的教会领袖有交谈，但是如果他们不能支持他们的教会领袖的话，那么就去一个能够支持的地方。
And then continue to support and walk with them as they go through a divorce, if that's what happens.
那在离婚的过程当中，去陪伴他们。离婚好像是一个特别漫长，好像要走到永远的那么一个过程。
At least in the States, divorces take forever.
至少在美国，一场离婚就是那个时间持续到好像永远都没有尽头一样。
And they're going to need the support of the body of Christ as they go through that process.
他们在整个的这个过程当中是需要全教会的支持的。
And then help them as they have to make long-term plans.
下面一点是帮助我们的辅导对象制定一个长期的计划。
Things like what's going to happen to the property, what are we going to do with the kids, those kinds of things.
那么长期的计划包括哪些呢？包括我们要怎么样处理这个我们的固定财产，还有我们怎么处理孩子的情况。
Now, you also ask about trauma in this question.
同时，你也问到了创伤的问题。
And John Henderson has offered some helpful thoughts on this particular topic, so I thought I would share those with you.
那约翰亨德森呢？就这个主题提供了一些有帮助的思考。
First, he offered a definition of trauma, which I thought was helpful.
首先，他对于创伤、精神创伤给出了一个定义，我认为这个定义很有帮助。
He said, trauma is experiencing the threat of destruction outside the loving presence of God.
他说，精神创伤是在神慈爱同在的外面，经历了毁灭性的威胁。
Without opportunity for escape into the loving presence of God.
当下完全没有机会逃入到神慈爱的同在之中。
And without the active resources of God's grace to recover in the loving presence of God.
也没有神恩典的积极的资源，可以让他在神的同在里面得到恢复。
He also describes some common responses to situations like this.
他还描述了这种情况的一些常见反应。
First, he talks about inner person responses to threat or trauma.
他提到了内在的人对威胁和创伤的一些常见反应。
So these may include weakness and helplessness,
这包括软弱和无助，
vulnerability and shame,
感到羞耻和羞，呃，感到脆弱和羞耻。
anxiety,
焦虑，
insecurity,
感到不安全，
betrayal and distrust,
感到背叛也和不信任，
injustice and anger.
不公和愤怒。
Sin and blaming yourself, blaming God, blaming others.
罪恶和责备，包括责备自己、责备神、责备他人。
Loss and mourning.
失去和哀伤，
depression and despair,
感到压力和绝望。
reliving the experience, having nightmares or flashbacks.
不断的重新回到当时的经历，可能会做梦，或者有记忆闪回。
So those were inner person responses. He also talks about interpersonal responses to threat and trauma.
他刚才我们所提到的这些是内在的人对于威胁和创伤的反应。他同时也提到了我们在人际关系上面所反映出来的这些对威胁和创伤的一些常见的一些反应。
So seeing others as untrustworthy,
把他人看为是不可信任的、
unreliable,
不可靠的、
shaming,
让人羞耻的。
unjust,
不公正的、
disrespectable,
不值得尊敬的、
dangerous,
危险的、
and hateful.
可恨的。
So what I'd like to do now is just consider how Psalm 55 might help us take a step in addressing trauma.
那接下来我想和大家分享的是诗篇55篇如何帮助我们在处理创伤当中迈出第一步。
So Psalm 55 starts out this way: Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me.
诗篇第55篇是这样开头的：“神啊，求你留心听我的祷告，不要隐藏不听我的恳求。
My thoughts trouble me, and I'm distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger.
”求你侧耳听我，应允我，我哀叹不安，发出哀哼，都因仇敌的声音。恶人的欺压，因为他们将罪孽加在我身上，发怒气逼迫我。
My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me.
我心在我里面甚是疼痛，死的惊慌临到我身。
Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me.
恐惧战兢归到我身，惊恐漫过了我。
Did you notice the threat of destruction in those verses?
你注意到了这个当中关于毁灭、关于威胁的句子了吗？
All those inner man kinds of things that we mentioned often come with trauma. God's word talks about those things.
刚才我们所提到的所有这些内在的人对精神创伤的这种回应，在神的话语里面，他谈论这些事情。
Then the psalmist continues, I said, Oh, that I had wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest.
第6节说：“我说，但愿我能有翅膀像鸽子，我就飞去，得享安息。
I would flee far away and stay in the desert.
我必远游，宿在旷野。
I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm.
我必速速逃到避所，脱离狂风暴雨。”
So, did you notice here what the person desires?
你注意到这个人他渴望什么吗？
They want an opportunity to escape. They want safety. They want a refuge.
他想要有逃离的机会，他想要安全，他想要一个避难所。
And in fact, they're willing to stay in some place uncomfortable if they can just escape. They're willing to stay in the desert if they can just escape.
他们想要逃离到一个程度，他们甚至会愿意停留在让人不舒适的地方，比如说，他说：“我情愿宿在旷野，因为旷野比我现在的地方更安全。
Doesn't this sound like the response of somebody who has faced trauma?
”难道这个听起来不像是那些经历创伤的人他们所渴望的吗？
So God's word describes trauma. It describes our response and desire when we face trauma.
所以，神的话语是会去谈论 创伤，也会去谈论我们在创伤之后的回应的。
Then, as we go down to verse 15, we hear the psalmist say, "Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them."
那么第15节，我们的作者谈论说：“愿死亡忽然临到他们，愿他们活活的下入阴间，因为他们的住处，他们的心中尽都是邪恶。
Do you see here a longing for justice?
”你在这里有看到对公义的渴望吗？
Like, people have been evil to me. Make it stop.
就像他在说：“人们都在对我倾倒他们的邪恶。”神啊，你能让他们停止吗？
So now, as we think about these next couple of verses, in these next verses, what steps does the psalmist take that someone who has experienced threat of destruction might take?
在接下来的这些经文当中，我们来看诗篇的作者采取了哪些步骤？一个经历了毁灭威胁的人，可能可以采取这些步骤。
Psalmist says, "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me.
第
Evening,
十，sorry。
morning and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice."
第16节、17节，大卫说：“至于我要求告神，耶和华必拯救我。我要晚上、早晨、晌午哀声悲叹，他也必听我的声音。”
So this is one of the reasons why I thought that definition of trauma was so helpful.
在这里，我们就看到为什么我认为，这个对精神创伤的定义非常的有帮助呢？
Because the psalmist is describing a traumatic event or situation.
因为我们的诗篇作者他所描述的是非常的让人受到创伤的一种处境或者经历。
But Henderson defined trauma this way: trauma is experiencing the threat of destruction outside the loving presence of God.
但是，亨德森博士他在描述创伤的时候，他讲到说，创伤的定义是，他经历这种毁灭的威胁是在神的恩典和同在以及爱之外所经历的。
Without opportunity for escape into the loving presence of God.
当下是没有机会去逃到神的同在、神的爱里面的。
And without the active resources of God's grace to recover in the loving presence of God.
同时，也没有一些积极的资源让他在神的爱和同在里面得到恢复。
So here's where those who call out to God and belong to Him, take a different turn than those who don't turn to God.
所以在这里，我们看到，那些在威胁的处境当中，他们可以这样的人，他们采取一些方式可以转回到神的面前。我们对这个做一个比较，就是那些没有办法转回到神的面前的人，他们所经历的处境。
So this psalmist is able to experience the threat of destruction with the loving presence of God, with the opportunity to escape into the loving presence of God, and with the active resources of God's grace to recover in the presence of God. The presence of God is our key.
所以我们看到这一个诗篇的作者，他在经历这些毁灭性的威胁的时候，他能够转身逃入到神的慈爱的同在当中，他可以在神的慈爱和同在之内去经历这些毁灭的威胁，同时他也可以得到神恩典的积极的资源，让他可以在神慈爱的同在里面得到恢复。所以我们的关键在这里是神慈爱的同在。
So that's why it's so important that we see in verses 16 and 17, as for me, I call to God And the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. He is in the presence of God here.
所以在16节到17节里面，我们看到这个关键，就是诗篇的作者说：“我要求告神，耶和华必拯救我。我要晚上、早晨、晌午哀声悲叹，神必听我的声音。”所以，我们看到在这里，我们的诗篇作者他是有神慈爱的同在的。
And he cries out to God unceasingly.
而且他向神呼求的时候，他是不住的呼求。
Think if you've experienced traumatic situations, you want to be able to cry out unceasingly, evening, morning, and noon.
那当我们去经历精神的创伤的时候，我们是希望在任何时候都不断的向神呼求，晚上、早晨、晌午都向神发出悲叹。
Then we come to verse 18. And in this verse, this psalmist who has experienced a traumatic situation says something we aren't expecting.
那么我们来到第18节，而在这一节里面，这位诗篇作者所表达的是跟我们所预期的完全不同的事物。
Verse 18. He rescues me on harmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me.
第18节，诗篇作者说：“他救赎我命，脱离攻击我的人，使我得享平安。”因为与我相争的人甚多，
How can that be?
这怎么可能呢？
They have suffered and been harmed already.
他们已经受苦了，已经受到极大的伤害了。
That's why they're struggling with trauma.
这就是为什么他们在与精神创伤做斗争的一个原因。
But remember, the real battle is not against flesh and blood.
但是我们要记住的是，真正的征战不是对抗血肉之躯，
But against the powers of this dark world.
而是对抗这黑暗世界的权势。
And those who trust in the Lord will be rescued from that battle.
而那些信靠主的人，将从这场战争当中被拯救出来。
And will one day live with the triumphant king in complete safety for eternity.
并且终有一天，可以与得胜的君王一同生活，在永远的、完全的安全当中，直到永生。
So, how can the psalmist say he rescues me unharmed?
所以，sorry，
How can the psalmist say he rescues me unharmed?
所以，在已经受到这么大的痛苦和伤害的情况下，这位诗篇的作者，他还怎么能说？神救赎我命，脱离攻击我的人，使我得享平安呢？
Because as he has cried out to the Lord, the Lord has given him eyes to see that the real battle isn't flesh and blood.
因为当他向神呼求的时候，神就给他一双眼睛，让他可以看见真正的征战不是血肉之躯。
Then, verse 19, God, who is enthroned from of old, the triumphant king.
那么第19节，我们看到说，那没有更变敬畏神的人，从太古长存的神必听见而苦待，那从太古长存的人必听见而施行公义。
Does not change. He will hear them and humble them because they have no fear of God. Did you already read that?
Can you say that again?
Did you already read all of verse 19?
Yes, I did.
So God is going to deal justly.
So, 上帝一定会施行公义。
Then we get to the end of this chapter and we hear beginning in verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you.
那我们来到第22节，圣经说：“把你的重担卸给神。” 他必抚养你。
He will never let the righteous be shaken.
他永不叫一人动摇。
But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay.
神啊，你必使恶人下入灭亡的坑。
The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days.
流人血、行诡诈的人必活不到半世。
And then he ends exclaiming,
然后他以这句话来结尾。
But as for me, I trust in you.
但我要依靠你。
What a beautiful place to land. And you think about people who have experienced trauma.
这是何等的一个美好的结尾呀！你想一想，经过精神创伤的人们。
And the difference there is for those who are facing the situation outside the loving presence of God.
你想想，他们在经历那些死亡、灭亡的威胁的时候，他们是完全没有神的慈爱的同在的。
Compared to those who are turning to God, crying out to Him, and being rescued in the presence of God.
想一想这其中的对比，对比于那些有神慈爱的同在，在神的慈爱当中所经历这些伤痛，以及在神的慈爱的任何积极的资源当中得到恢复的这样的人。
So, as we help those who have experienced trauma, we want to help move them from trying to deal with this outside of God's presence to a place where they are trusting in God and receiving His help.
所以，当我们在面对那些受过精神创伤的人的时候，我们希望可以帮助他们从那个没有神的慈爱的同在、没有神恩典的积极的恢复的那个处境里面，转入到有神慈爱的同在、有神恩典的恢复、有神一切的帮助的地方处境。
So, those who have experienced trauma are invited to turn to the Lord for healing, comfort, security, and peace.
所以，那些经历过创伤的人，主在邀请他们来转向主，可以求得医治、安慰、安全和平安。
So, as I finish up this question, let me just say that counseling in situations such as this is often going to be long term. And you'll want to take your time being especially gentle and patient.
所以在这种情况下，进行辅导通常是一个长期的过程，你需要慢慢来，尤其是要有温柔和耐心。
All right, that's what I got.
好，这就是我今天要跟大家分享的所有的内容。
就是还剩一些些时间，是不是如果说有一些问题能够互动一下呢？
Dear Amy, so we still have like 17 minutes. Is it okay if our sisters have some general questions?
Sure. Can we start with any questions that they might have where the things that I've already gone through were confusing or unclear?
可以那我们先从我刚才讲到的这五个案例里面，大家觉得我刚才分享到的内容还不完全清晰。或者还有一些后续的追问的一些问题。
那个夏静姐妹刚才留言的啊，小杰老师可以看一下对话框中，因为她最后这个案例就是她提的这个问题，然后她有一些补充。
是，你可以为我们读一下吗？
对，感谢主哈，就是她说到，因为刚好她昨天刚刚辅导了她，那这个姐妹也同意自己说，首先需要解决的这个主要问题，先除去自己的苦毒，然后学会饶恕。那他们教会的牧者会认为说，她是可以离婚的，因为可能符合这个离婚的一个原则。那现在是姐妹就是自己感觉说她已经不爱她的丈夫了，那如果说她的丈夫一直没有主动提离婚的话， 哈。那现在因为也面临着孩子要上学的一个问题，就是后面她自己是不是需要主动去跟丈夫沟通这个离婚的这个问题？
So the counselor is in our meeting today, and she shared some following questions. She said yesterday she counseled the sister, and she agrees that she needs to first deal with her bitterness. So now they're dealing with her bitterness, and then she planned to deal with forgiveness. And their pastor think she has the biblical grounds of divorce. And now the sister feel like she does not love her husband anymore. But the husband never take initiative to talk about a divorce. Now because their kids, they need to deal with their kids and his school. So the sister has a problem, like has a question, should she go to communicate with her husband and take initiative about the divorce issue?
Well, I think I would, there was a lot in that, so I'm trying to make sure I'm, one, I think we want to make sure that she's getting guidance from her pastor so that she's under her pastor's leadership. So that would be one of the first things.
对，第一点呢，我们想要确保的是，这位姐妹她是在自己的牧者的这个引导之下在处理这件事情，这是我们首先要确保的。
We also want to make sure that we are taking responsibility for getting the log out of our own eye and taking care of any sinful attitudes, actions, words that we have said to the other person. This would be our husband.
其次，我们想要确保的是，我们先把梁木从自己的眼中拿出来，我们想要去先去看，在我们跟丈夫的交流当中，我们在态度上面、言语上面、行为上面，有哪一些是不符合圣经的地方。
So this is important, first of all, because God commands it, but just thinking through the, through that, I let's say that her husband does want a divorce, but maybe if she went to him and sought his forgiveness, that would have an impact on his desires. So that needs to come first.
我们现在是说，就是她可能会想到说跟丈夫离婚的这个问题，但是呢，如果说她先和丈夫能够有这样一个坦诚的沟通，并且就她自己的这些行为去负上责任，去寻求丈夫的原谅和赦免，那么也许这会让事情变得不一样。
So she wants to follow those biblical principles of handling conflict.
所以呢，他会想要去跟随我们刚才讲到的如何处理冲突的这些原则，在他的婚姻当中实践出来。
Now, as she does that and she gets the log out of her own eye, then I think she's going to be able to see clearly, for next steps.
那么，在他在寻求去实践这些原则的时候，当他。先把自己眼中的梁木拿出来的时候，我认为他就能够看得清楚，并且能够得到神的指引，知道下一步应该怎么做。
And as she begins to see clearly, if her pastor has said that she has biblical grounds for divorce and she agrees biblically that she has biblical grounds for divorce, she'll be able to make a more clear decision once she has addressed her own failings.
那么，我们讲到的就是，当他已经在明确的寻求牧者的带领，当他的牧者认为他有符合圣经的依据，他可以离婚，并且他自己也从自己的眼中把梁木拿出来之后，我认为他在做决定的时候，他会有更加清晰的一个看见和信心，知道他现在做的这个决定是合乎神的心意的，不是。 是合乎圣经的教导的，不是？这会给他的这个决定的这个做决定的这个过程带来一个很大的一个信心的支持。
Let me just add here that I think sometimes external pressures can put so much pressure on us that we feel like I've got to make a decision right this minute.
让我补充一点的是，一些外部的环境的压力会挤压我们的心，让我们觉得我现在就必须马上要做出这个决定。
But as always in these situations, my obligation is to please God and glorify Him, not just come up with a decision because I'm feeling pressure.
那么，在所有这一切的处境当中，我唯一最重要的那一个。首要的责任，我的义务，是我要讨神的喜悦。我们要知道的是，在这个过程当中，我们首要的义务不是我必须因着这些所有的这些压力，我必须要马上做一个决定。
So, in such situations, I may have to appeal to others to pause.
如果面对这样的处境的话，我可能会恳请其他的人，让他们先暂时暂停。他们的推进。
Or in a situation like school is starting, the child has to go to school somewhere, and we've got to decide where.
或者是在这个姐妹的处境里面，马上就要开学了，我们现在必须马上决定孩子要去哪儿上学。
If I'm going to please God, it may mean that I have to make a temporary decision, which may then end up costing more money or something like that, but I want to be sure that I'm pleasing God.
那当我把我的首要任务看作是讨神的喜悦的时候，也许我会做这样的一个决定，也许会，这个消花费更多的金钱，或者采取更多的步骤，但是我能知道这个决定是讨神喜悦的，荣耀神的。